Blog Talk Radio.
Should be music playing there, but I don't hear it. So I'm going to go ahead and, as so very Mercury retrograde as it is in the world of technology, I will just ignore the fact that there's no music that's supposed to be playing right now and say that this is Richard, and we're here at Sound Health Options, and Sherry's taking a break today, so it's just going to be myself and my delightful guest, Pamela Oastley. Pamela is a author, consultant, lecturer, and professional psychic. She's the author of Life Colors, What Your Aura Colors Say About You, Love Colors, and a New Approach to Love, Relationships, and Auras. Today, I'm going to be having a conversation with Pamela about the language of the colors and the people's communication styles and all kinds of relationships. We'll also be discussing how these colors apply to people meeting each other on Pamela's newest venture, lovecolors.com. Greetings and welcome, Pamela.
Good day to you, Richard. I was trying to figure out if I'm saying morning, night, day, what.
What time zone are we in?
I know, really. We don't know anymore.
No. So I think I'll start out by asking you really to, if you can, give us just a brief description for those that aren't familiar with your color system. If you could give us just a brief description of each of the colors, and then
okay.
I'd like to go further into that and talk about each color and its style of communication.
Okay, just a brief summary here. I do see auras. A lot of people see auras. I see lots of different colored bands that radiate out from a person. And the one or two colors of bands closest to a person's body are the life colors. Those are what show the personality, the life purpose, relationship styles, communication styles, potential health problems, career directions, things like that. The outer bands, when people say, I thought the aura colors change all the time, that's what I see in the outer bands. The outer bands change depending on what's going on with the person at the time. So if someone's angry, a lot of red shows up. If somebody's really having a great time and they're playful and they're happy, a lot of yellow shows up. So the life colors, I see 14 different colors. Just real quick, I categorize them into three families. The physical colors, which those colors get what's real in life by physically touching it or through their bodies. Then there are the mental colors. They get what's real through processing intellectually, through their minds, through data, information. And then the spiritual emotional colors, those colors get what's real through their intuition, their inner vision, feeling. So in the physical color, I see red, orange, magenta, and yellow. Reds are very much about physical reality. They're very strong-willed, usually. And again, red, you know, we've been using this language for a long time, Richard, so we have red with passion, red with anger. That pretty much describes it, red. It's very much about their physical bodies and being a physical animal here on the planet this time. Then we have oranges. Oranges are the daredevils on the planet, the Evel Knievels and the Jackie Chans. They actually have to put their lives on the line to feel alive. So I see them being race car drivers and stunt people and hang gliders and, you know, people that jump out of airplanes and hike up Mount McKinley. And then, excuse me, there are magentas. Magentas are the Andy Warhol, the Kramer on Seinfeld people. They kind of go to the beat of a different drummer. They still believe in physical reality, but they like to twist it kind of to make it bizarre and outrageous. They love to shock people. So I'm sure they're the ones that created the purple mohawks and the multiple body piercings, and now, of course, that trend catches on. I usually see magentas living in big cities like San Francisco where they can kind of hide out because in small towns people consider them too bizarre to live there. And then we have yellows. Yellows are the big kids on the planet, great sense of humor, playful, pleasers, but also stubborn. Yellows like their freedom, they need variety, they need to stay physically active or they can get depressed or put on weight. They came here to bring joy to the planet and or to help it heal on some level. So you always know you've got a yellow on your hands if they're laughing a lot. Well, we've got the sensitive yellows, the ones that are really shy and sensitive and you can hurt their feelings easily and they're very quiet. We'll talk about that in communication. Or they're just funny. They're funny. They love to get people to laugh. So anyway, those are the physical colors. Then with the mental colors, I see four different types of tans. I'll lump them all together right now just because they're so similar. There's a sensitive tan, environmental tan, logical tan, and abstract tan. All the tans are pretty much detail-oriented. They tend to process step one, step two, step three, step four. They feel best when they have secure, stable paychecks. They're not real risk takers. They don't really like change that much. I see them a lot doing everything from secretarial and desk work and office work where they take care of the details, bookkeeping, accounting, engineering, computer programmer, operator. You understand, they like focusing on the details. Then we have greens. Greens are basically the type A driven workaholic people on the planet. They're all about achieving and making money and having power and amassing wealth. So greens process very quickly. They go 1, 2, oh, I got it, 10, let's go, come on. They like to be in charge. I typically see them as CEOs of companies or bankers or real estate agents or stock market people. They're really high-powered. So Donald Trump has a lot of green. Bill Gates has a lot of green. Warren Buffett's actually yellow and green. Isn't that funny? He's got such a sense of humor. So those are the greens. And then blues in the emotional family. Blues actually are the most emotional color on the planet. Blues can cry just watching commercials. So blues are here to bring love to the planet, to give love, to be in service. Blues are are very, very spiritual. Blues, ever since they were little, son spoke to God or angels or whatever form of religious upbringing they have, all blues are spiritual. They're emotional. Their priority is love. So they really want to be in relationship. Usually blues, when they're young, already start dreaming. They've usually got the Cinderella complex. But blues are real givers. And they're also the most psychic and intuitive of all the aura colors. Followed by the next one, which are violets. Violets are the visionaries on the planet, the old souls. They have been on this planet many times before. Violets, from a very young age, have felt like they're here to do something very big. Violets are actually here to help save the planet, to shift the consciousness, to educate the masses, but they have to do big projects. So I see violets getting drawn to things like the media, communication fields. They get accused a lot, by the way, Richard, of being unrealistic dreamers, because usually the vision and the dreams that a violet has is so big, people are, including themselves, going, now how are you going to do that? That's not practical. That's not realistic. You don't have the money for that. You don't have the education for that. I see violets getting into teaching or psychology, just like blues. Or I see them getting into causes or politics and law. They're leaders. They're charismatic. When they're in power, meaning the positive side, they're really effective, dynamic performers or leaders. When they're out of power, they can either get really scattered. There's like 20 things they want to do, and they're not sure how to get it all done. Or they don't know what to do. They get stymied. That's a violet. And then we've got the indigo. Now, and we're in a violet age right now, Richard. So violets are in their power time right now, which I have to say this because 90% of my clients right now are violets. Violets, if they're not doing what they came to the planet to do, are getting squeezed. They're getting the rug pulled out from underneath them. They're getting inner earthquakes. I'm seeing divorces, severe health problems. They're losing everything, you know, their finances, whatever. Violets are the ones that are being the most shaken up right now. But they're leading us into the indigo age, which is basically we're on the verge of that. We're already starting that transition. Indigos are very, almost hyper-spiritual. They tend to be extremely psychic. One of the things about indigos is they tend to look androgynous. You can't really tell if they're male, female, gay, or straight. A lot of violets right now are moving into, they're resonating with the indigo energy, so a lot of violets think they are indigos. Indigos, again, very psychic. They tend to be very, very good with technology. Like even at 3 years old, they know how to operate a computer, like nothing. Very spiritually advanced. They seem to be able to communicate with nature, with animals, with children. A lot of people tend to think that indigos are very bizarre. Again, it's androgynous, which means you can't really tell if they're male or female, gay or straight. And in Michael Jackson's case, black or white. Michael Jackson is whatever, an indigo, a wounded indigo, but he was an indigo. And then we have lavenders. Lavenders are, what we want to call them, kind of the airy, fairy, spacey, childlike, fantasy-oriented. That's the best word for an indigo. They're very fantasy-oriented. They have a hard time actually staying focused and grounded in their bodies. They tend to space out and drift around a lot, so they have a hard time making a career. What they're supposed to do is use their creative sense. They tend to go into other dimensions or daydream or fantasize. They get all these creative ideas. They're supposed to. I can hear a lot of yellows right now going, oh, that's me, that's me. And they go, no, you're a yellow. Yellows like nature. They need to be in nature. They're like dogs. They're like, you know, anyway. Lavenders are just, I don't see that many lavenders, and usually it's a lavender-violet mix or a lavender-blue combination. C.S. Lewis, who wrote Chronicles of Narnia, he had a lot of lavender. So did Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland. You see that artistic, fantasy-oriented type of personality there. So anyway, lavenders have a hard time staying grounded in reality. So usually they need to either be trust fund babies or they need to have someone take care of them. Usually they have a rough time with money unless they can get their creative senses going and actually stay in their bodies long enough to make money doing it. And then we have the very rare crystals, which a lot of very sensitive yellows or damaged yellows, yellows that have been suppressed or, you know, abused in childhood, think that they're crystals. Crystals actually have a clear aura. And so they're the auric chameleons. Now, crystals, when they're balanced and centered and, you know, doing what they came to the planet to do, are actually here to act as a clear conduit for healing energy. They're some of the most best healers on the planet. But crystals needed to be very quiet. They cannot really be around a lot of people. They tend to be loners. A lot of people think they're strange because they stay so isolated. And crystals are usually very, very intelligent, very much in their heads, too, even though they're one of the spiritual emotional colors. Crystals are very fragile. So they act like chameleons in that when they're around someone, they tend to take on the aura colors of the person that they're around. They kind of absorb it. So if they're hanging out with a violet, they start acting and looking like a violet. If they're around a blue, their behavior switches over to a blue's tendencies. The same with a yellow, whatever. Whoever they're around, if they're not centered and in their own crystal energy, they absorb the energy of the people around them. In power, crystals are healers. Out of power, and they send energy to people. When they're out of power, meaning the downside of crystals, crystals can actually drain the energy of people that they're around because they absorb the other person's energy. So anyway, but crystals are very rare. So if you think you're a crystal, really, really go read my books and make sure that that's really your colors. So those are basically the 14 colors that I see, Richard.
Wow. I feel like I need to smoke. Oh, my God. Wow. I don't think I've ever heard you wrap it down like that. That was great. That was
fabulous. Oh, good. Good. Well, I know you said you wanted brief and
no, that was really good. That was excellent. So a question comes to mind immediately. So does that mean that the tech industry, since I live in that part of California, and I see a lot of tech people, and I go to conferences where there are a lot of nerds and the creative types, are those a lot of the indigos? Because it sounds a lot like they're sort of the cross-platform, a mix between violets and indigos that are that. I see a lot of those sort of androgynous types in the tech industry who are very, you know, they're very neutral personalities. You can't, sometimes you're right, literally you cannot tell until you talk to them or get some sense of what the gender is. Because they're still not part of that, but they're very cross-platform.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't been up in Silicon Valley to see actually all the tech people up there. Usually, in my experience, the tech people that I've encountered are usually tans, logical tans or sensitive tans,
or abstract tans with maybe some yellow in there, because the yellow is very creative. So a lot of yellows can be like sensitive, childlike looking people too.
Okay.
So I see a lot of yellow tans in the tech industry, a lot of green yellows in there, a lot of green tans. Not that many, because I don't see green tans that often. And sometimes tan violets. I'll tell you what I see a lot in the tech industry that probably shouldn't be. There are actual yellow-violet combinations with the vision of the violet, the futuristic, and then the creative ideas of yellows who have added tan in their aura. So they've gone into the tech field thinking that's a good way, a good career. It's down to earth. It's stable. It's, you know, there's a lot of need for tech. But a lot of yellow violets are usually more free-spirited. They're like Spielberg and George Lucas are yellow violets. You see, they need to do the big picture. They need to be the boss. They need to have the vision and then let the tan tech people take care of programming the details. Yellow-violet
right.
people are not usually big on the details. They'd rather do the big vision and the creative sense.
Yeah. That's why I think I'm always a funny mix, because of the fact that I pay a lot of attention to the vision. Like as we, you know, talk, I'm monitoring a couple of different applications, watching what's happening on the stream. There's a bunch of detail, but I still jump out and want the big picture. I still like the, you know, let's go out and play part.
That's
so
right.
So it's a funny mix.
That's right. Well, plus you do have yellow in your aura too, Richard. That's why you've got such a great sense of humor. And you're such a good hugger. Yellows are great huggers. If anyone's ever in pain, not feeling love, whatever, you get a hug by a yellow, oh my gosh, you know you've been hugged. They just have the best feeling hugs.
Now, I have to ask a question about this now. So are Labradors yellows? Do they tend to be yellow?
The dogs?
Yeah, the dogs.
Well, you know what? What I've noticed, animals have different, animals with the exceptions of dolphins, I've seen have this different aura colors. I either see a silver blue around an animal, which means that animal knows and believes it's an animal, or there's a golden yellow color around an animal, and that means that animal believes it's a person. It's much more evolved. But I will tell you this, it's a great question, because dogs love yellows. Yellows and dogs are very much alike. They're playful, they wag my tail, I'm just so happy to see you. Yellows, when they're in power, dogs, I've been walking on the beach, a dog will spot a yellow a mile away and run right up to it and want to play with a yellow.
Yeah, okay. I used to live with a lab, and the lab was very much like that with me when I lived with a lab. She would come over and, like, throw herself up against me and look at me with the big cow eyes like, what are we doing? Where are we going? Are we having fun yet? What's going on?
See how much they love yellows? Well, dogs are just so playful, so they love yellows. And then I started to say blues usually prefer cats because they're very loyal. I mean, you know, it's like cats, they're low maintenance, whatever, and blues are already caretaking everybody else on the planet. So cats, and you remember how I said blues are very psychic? You ever seen all those things where blues with the psychics, there's always some cat around a blue, around a psychic or a witch or whatever?
Yes.
And violets are very global. So violets tend to love all animals, but on a big scale, you know, like African animals or jungle animals or wild animals. Violets are very big with their global scope of animals. And then greens typically don't want animals in their home because they don't like the mess and the annoyance and the smells. Like, I don't have time for that. I have busy things to do, and I want my environment clean and organized. So, yeah, it's funny that you would ask about pets or animals.
It just came up because of the lab relationship. But, I mean, you know. And so dolphins, well, then that leads me to ask you about the dolphins comment, that dolphins have the same aura colors that we do.
Yes, I've been able to work with dolphins. Down to the research lab down in Florida, where the dolphins could come and go. They had a fence around their environment like that was about a foot high, so the dolphins could leave any time and come back. And the dolphins, absolutely, I saw the same aura colors that I see around people, although I got to say I'm really believing that dolphins are more in tune than people. They're very psychic. Yes, I saw a crystal dolphin. I saw a yellow-violet, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's the little prom queen, the little show-off, the little violet, because violets like being center of attention usually. And then there was the blue, little Omega was the blue, and they said, oh, my gosh, you're right. She just caretakes all the other dolphins. She caretakes the kids or the people when they get in the pond. So they've got their own unique personalities like that.
How interesting. How that's a whole show unto itself. How interesting.
I know.
Dolphins have the same color. And I concur that dolphins definitely seem, I think talking messes us up. That's a different show.
Yes.
You know, I think that's part of the trick is that if we really backed up and paid more attention to our intuition and what we know without speaking, like dolphins do, I think the communication is a lot cleaner. I think it's the intellectualization of the process that somehow, you know, muddies the waters.
I agree with you, Richard. We've been taught when we have to focus on language, we get much more linear and sequential. And then we have to narrow down these bigger concepts that we feel that's much more holographic, much broader. We have to narrow it down to communicate that way in language with each other through linear sequential words. And it does limit us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much easier to communicate in pictures.
Yeah. I had a woman on my show on Wednesday who wrote a book called Welcoming Consciousness, and she was talking about how we're very she does work on fetuses, you know, in unborn babies, and also does therapy on like 1-week-old, 1-month-old, 3-month-old little babies. And as children get older, they talk to her about how I was trying to communicate with my parents. I knew I needed, you know, I was trying to talk to them. I was telepathically giving them messages, but they didn't get it. And I saw them making noises with each other and went, oh, I guess I need to do noises, like make sounds, make noises to get them to understand what I'm saying. And they slowly developed learning the language.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. It's a fascinating book. The science today, and she's a medical doctor. And all the science that's being done on consciousness and how conscious we really are as souls when we come here, and how it's how the trauma can be there, and how the communication, how we have to learn how to communicate in a way that's very limiting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another
okay.
show.
That's a different show. That's sort of the Bruce Lipton show. Let's go there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's.
And
come
I do
back
want people. I do
go
want
ahead.
People to know that. The colors that you have in your aura, it reflects the theme that you've chosen for this lifetime. It reflects what you've chosen. It doesn't run your life. It doesn't box you in. It reflects so that you can, it's kind of like breadcrumbs that we've left behind so people can remember who they are and why they came to the planet. And also helps us understand other people around us so we don't think like we're all supposed to be the same. How come you don't think like me? How come you don't communicate like me? What's wrong with you? Like, once we understand that people have different themes and different personality types, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. You're a tan. I understand.
And do you feel that that on some level that we still see, that everybody sees other people's colors on some level or senses them, even if it's completely not in their conscious brain pan?
I absolutely do. You know what? We've all had the experience of being around someone and wanting to just, oh, I like this person. I feel really good about him. You almost want to touch or hug him or be close to him. And then we've had the experience of being around someone where you just don't feel quite right being around him. You just want to pull away or leave them alone. You're feeling their energetic field. You're feeling their aura. So we've all had that experience. And, Richard, I love your question because we have used the aura colors in our language. Like true blue, and I'm feeling blue today. That so describes the blue. They're so loyal. And where did we come up with that true blue? You think we stand there and watch people turn blue in front of us? No. And then we've got the happy face yellows, and we've got green with envy, and we've got green money, and we've got the royal violet robes. You know, and yes, they used to have red too, but reds and violets and greens are all very powerful. So before, way back in the knights and whatever, they'd have red robes because that's when reds ruled the planet. It was all about physical survival and physical prowess and strength. And then the violets is the violet royal robes, you understand? So we've
mm-hmm.
been using this language for a long time. So obviously somebody has seen them.
And right, they've seen them and they've... Well, this is. I feel like I need to be on a therapy couch. because it makes me think about. I've always had the belief, and feeling, and sense that really we come in as children, fully capable of seeing all of this and having all these experiences.
Yes.
And we unlearn it.
Yes.
As we become more communicative and as parents. anthropological, you know, atmosphere that we grew up in, environment that we grew up in, trains us to not pay attention to that and pay attention to more what we actually see and what we hear in the sense of words and that kind of communication, that we sort of tune this all down.
Yes.
So I really always have, right, that we, I believe that, you know, just as you said, when you meet somebody, people, you know, have a rational, intellectual rationalization of why you don't like being with a person or this person, but I think it really does come down to a combination of smells, pheromones, auric colors, or, you know, I suspect also that there are people like Sherry Edwards who have the ability to hear things that most people don't hear. I think there's a lot of different senses that we just crank down as we become more enmeshed in the world of having to use words to communicate and believing that that's the only way we can communicate.
Right. Yes, it's all frequency. It's all resonance, vibration. I mean, thoughts are waves of energy, just like radio waves and TV waves and the waves, you know, the energetic waves that come into our phones, our cell phones. It's all waves, energy, and waves of information. And we're broadcasting waves of information from us all the time. And there are certain people that, you know, some people get along, they get along great, and you go, oh, my gosh, how do they put up with that person? And they're doing fine, but their frequencies match. They resonate together, where a lot of other people, different aura colors in particular, don't resonate that well together. It's a different frequency.
Right, and that's what led me to, and we will get to the question, but I'll just have to get this part of. As I've been watching Sherry do work, she's been doing some shows recently where we've been doing vocal profiling, looking at people's voice prints to see how they match up. But she's looking at it from the perspective of, she's looking for, like, working thing more so than relationship thing. But, I mean, it's all relationship, it's just different kinds. So she's looking at people's voice prints and saying, oh, you know, these colors over here go really well, blended really well with these colors, and so this person would be the doer, and this person would be the thinker, and this person would be the great visionary, and I want her to be the office manager. So that led me into wanting to talk to you about the theme of colors and relationship to communication. So now let's move into that part of the conversation of, okay, so do yellows and blues get along? Do tans, you know, how does that mix? And in your case, I'm talking more about relationship, in the, you know, the big R, not the little, like, workplace R, but the big R. How does that work? How does that, you know,
well,
how do we do that?
Each of the colors has a personality and a relationship style and a communication style. I mean, there is a language for each one of the aura color personalities. So it's a great question. And, oh my gosh, there's a difference in how they communicate and get along and which ones actually are naturally more drawn to each other because they're similar or they meet each other's needs. So you asked if blues and yellows get along. Usually they do, not always. Now, let me preface this by saying I believe that with enough love and commitment and if somebody's really awake and aware, they can get along with anyone. You know, with enough love, you can be compatible with anyone or allow them to be who they are. There are certain colors that are naturally more compatible than others just because they have a similar feel for life. So blues and yellows are both really nice people. They both, you know, just really want people to feel loved or cared about, and they get along with most people. They're very easygoing. So blues are very loving. I see blues and yellows together a lot. For another reason, too, yellows are like big kids and blues are the moms on the planet, so they tend to caretake those little yellows that need someone looking after them. Now, when they don't get along, and blues are always talking about how they feel, and yellows are more sensitive. So I've seen yellows, as much as they like to laugh, they're also very sensitive. You can hurt their feelings easily, just like you can with a blue. So they tend to be nice to each other. They want to be helpful. They want people to feel liked. For a yellow, they want people to feel liked. Blues want people to feel loved. So they're typically compatible. Where they don't get along is if either one of them is out of power. And when I use that term, that means the downside, the negative qualities, when they're not balanced and centered and living their full potential, they go into the out of power side. So blues out of power can get very needy and whiny, and it's like they get very insecure, and so they're desperate for love, and that can scare a yellow, because yellows don't want to have to be responsible for somebody's full happiness. They just want you to like them, and it's fun, and it's easy, and if you start going, oh my gosh, you never, because yellows like their freedom, and they like to go out with their friends, and they need to go exercise or go play, and yellows actually need alone time. And so if the blue is very out of power and needy and feeling unloved and abandoned, then their abandonment issues will come up. The other problem that they typically have is yellows out of power do have a fear of commitment. They say they want a relationship, but when push comes to shove, a lot of yellows are like, wait a second, marriage? That looks like growing old, getting bored, and dying. So they tend to run away. And then, of course, the blue is like, wait, don't you love me, don't you love me? But and so then if the blue pulls back, goes, okay, fine, I guess I just need to get on with my life, the yellow plays this little catch-me-if-you-can game and goes, wait, don't you still like me? Wait, come back here, don't you still like me? And then if the blue turns around and goes, yes, okay, let's have a relationship, the yellow's like, ah, wait a second, and they run away again. So I'm sure you've got listeners that have been in that little catch-me-if-you-can game with the yellow, where they're there, then they run away, then they're there, then they run away. It's like, ah. So normally they get along and they can communicate very well because they're both sensitive. But out of power, that's a tough combination if they're out of power.
Let me interject a question there about the in power, out of power. Are there things that we can do, I know that there are things that we can do. How can we go from being out of power to being in power? Is that just having to work on our stuff, or how does that occur?
Well, I certainly wouldn't use the word work around a yellow. That'll make them run faster than anything.
And I'm a yellow saying that, so I was a little scrinchy when I said work. Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, we've also got that violet and a little bit of tan in there, so those colors will work. Anyway, each of the colors are different when they're in. I mean, for a color to go from out of power into power, it's all different. So we'll take yellows, for example. Yellows out of power are flaky, irresponsible. They're not good with money. It kind of leaks through their hands. Yellows, if they had their way, they wouldn't be working at all. That's why I said you can't use the word work with a yellow. They want to play and have fun. If it's fun and creative, they get excited about it, then they'll do projects. So for a yellow, and when yellows are in power, they're full of life and joy and energy. They're the optimists. They never get sick because they're just so full of life energy. So when a yellow's out of power, and they also can get into things like addictions, yellows have to watch out for drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, caffeine, chocolate or sweets, overeating. Yellows only do those things when they're not happy. So for a yellow to get in power, if they're displaying those behaviors, number one is exercise. Yellows have to exercise or be out in nature, walk, I don't care, something where they're moving their bodies to actually stay in power, because otherwise they get unhappy, cranky, cabin fever, they get depressed. The second thing for yellows is to stay away from negative addictions, which it's really hard to tell a yellow to do that. But if yellow's happy and they're having fun, they tend to stay away from the negative addictions. And the third thing for a yellow is keeping a sense of humor. If yellows can keep a sense of humor, they can survive anything. If they can just make themselves laugh about it or go, oh, well, or, you know, just make themselves laugh, then they go back into they lean more in towards getting into power. So that's for a yellow. Violets have a completely different thing. Violets, and just real quick, a yellow and a violet getting along, they're typically compatible to as long as the yellow's accomplishing something, because violets feel that they have big dreams and goals to accomplish here, and they need someone in a partnership that they can respect, they can see as an equal, they can communicate with, they can build, create big dreams and visions with, go travel. Violets love to travel. Violets have to have a partner that's an equal. So if yellows are accomplishing things with their creativity or their healing abilities, because yellows either do creative work, healing work, or physical work, like sports, and or doctors, healers, if a yellow is accomplishing and a violet can respect them, then they can be compatible. But when a violet really has these big goals to accomplish, these big dreams, these big visions, and if a yellow is back there smoking and drinking and hanging out and not accomplishing anything and not making money, ooh, that is a real incompatible. That relationship's in big trouble because violets then don't respect their partners and violets will leave. So when violets are in power, they're the most dynamic, charismatic, visionaries. They inspire people. They accomplish big visions. Oprah is a violet yellow, and I mentioned before Spielberg, George Lucas. George Clooney is a violet yellow. Do you see what he's doing out there? With wanting to help save the planet and make a difference for the masses. Bono is violet with yellow. When violets are in power, they are amazing humanitarians. They're amazing performers. They inspire the masses. They make a difference here. But they're very allowing, too. They tell people, look, this is where I'm going. You know, if you want to be inspired by this and go that way, that's great. If not, I understand you've got your own path to go on. Now, when violets are out of power, there's two different ways they go. They either get scattered and overwhelmed, and they don't know which way to go, so they're all over the place. They multitask. They don't get anything done. And that can cause depression. A lot of violets right now are going into depression because they have these big feelings, but they don't know how to get there, so they just sink into a sinkhole. The other side of violets out of power, though, is they can get very arrogant, bossy, dictatorial. They think that they know better than anybody, and they always like to tell other people what to do, and they can get very impatient with humanity and criticize them and judge them and talk down to them. So none of the colors are really that much fun to be around when they're out of power. So for a violet to get back in power, number one for a violet is some form of meditation, some form of quiet time where they can get their vision connected with their heart, connected with their higher self or God or the universe or something, a big presence. So that they feel valid, so that they can connect and go with it. So number one for a violet is meditation. Number two is violets need to get involved in projects that are bigger than them so that they feel that they're doing their life purpose here. So whether it's humanitarian projects or political projects or, you know, causes, whatever, they need to do something bigger than themselves. And violets also, now this does not apply to a yellow usually, Richard, violets like to travel. Anytime a violet gets really depressed or they get lost, they start getting closed in by especially Western world society, where that society thinks you're supposed to live in a box and follow the rules, get a job and a paycheck. That can depress a violet really fast, very quickly. So I encourage violets to go travel, get off the continent, go to a third world country, go to some country where they go, because whenever a violet travels, it broadens their horizons. They see that there's life outside of the box, and that usually inspires them. So those are just three of the things that violets need to do. Listening to empowering music is very good for violets because violets are very affected by music. If they listen to negative, angry music, they get affected by it. If they listen to inspirational speakers or music or, you know, lectures, whatever, read books that are inspirational, then they get pumped up, and that's really good for a violet. So you see how, I mean, in 14 different watercolors, there's always something. Like greens need to write lists. If greens get in power, because they're movers and shakers, and boy, I'll tell you, in power, greens can accomplish anything they put their mind to. They are just powerhouses. Out of power, greens are a lot like violets out of power. They get critical and judgmental and impatient and frustrated. And greens out of power, boy, they can be mean.
They can be downright cranky. Greens, I've run into greens out of power, and they can be the snarkiest, almost mean. I know it's unintentional, but I can see them being cranky, snarky, and mean.
That's it. Well, greens and violets both out of power, and reds. Those are the three power colors, reds, greens, and violets. All three of those, when they're out of power, now reds, when they get mean, they get physical. They throw things or hit or punch or kick or, you know, really yell. Greens and violets usually get very verbally abusive when they're out of power and very curt. I mean, if you go out to a restaurant with a green and they don't like what they've been served, they let the establishment know. I mean, it's like, damn. And if you go, oh, my gosh, don't be so mean to the waitress, or the server, they go, hey, I ordered what I ordered, and how are they going to know if you just, I mean, greens feel justified, like they have a right to be very abrupt and very cold and very self-righteous to people. So it can be uncomfortable. But you see any of the colors out of power, are not that great to be around. Greens are some of the more obvious when they're not happy. So for greens to get back in power, the number one thing a green needs to do is write a list. Write a list of everything that they want to do, because greens are list makers. They need to organize things. And so if they write a list and then start checking off the list and accomplishing things right away, they start feeling better. And all the colors, but especially greens and violets, need to learn how, because they're always in a hurry. Greens go 1, 2, 10. Violets go 1, 50. Let's call it 1, 50. I got these big visions. They're supposed to be happening now. So those colors specifically need to learn how to breathe and see the big picture. But for greens, it's write a list, make a plan, take action. That's usually what greens need to do to start feeling better. They need to organize their lives. They need to feel like they're in control and empowered. So if you're in a relationship with a green, first of all, if they're in a bad mood, you just back off and leave them alone. You will never win an argument with a green. They're always right when they're out of power. And if you make a point, they'll still argue with you, and then days later you come back and talk to them, and now they're making the point, but it was their idea. So green's out of power. You just got to give them space until they come to their, quote-unquote, their senses, you know, back in their right mind.
Senses. I like the large quotes around senses. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, because then greens need things to make sense.
Then how do we take advantage of knowing this? Because that's one of the things that I've always loved about your language of color, is the what I would call shortcutting that it allows in communications, meaning amongst friends that I've known for years who speak your language, that it's really helpful for us to be able to say, oh, he's a yellow, or oh, she's a tan, or oh, look out, she's in green mode, or, you know, I mean, it's really, it's a great way to, you know, have that. Or even when you're on a project, or, you know, I have a friend who will say, I'm in green mode.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I get it. I'll get back to me when you're done with that. How do we use this in our own communications, which then leads me to wanting to talk about the new project you're working on with lovecolors.com.
Great
question. How do we use this to our advantage in communication styles?
I love that question. So here's the deal. Each one of the different aura colors have a language that they resonate with. So, for example, sorry to keep picking on violets, but you do have violets listening. Violets, if you really want to help them or communicate with them, you talk to them about what they see, what their visions are, what their dreams are. Violets are very visual. If you start talking to a violet about what they think, they go out of their power and they go back into a mental state and go, oh, what do I think, what do I think? And then they can trip over the immediate details because they're trying to be logical. You talk to your violet child or your violet partner or your violet whatever and just like, what do you see? What's your vision? Look at life 10 years down the road. What do you see? And that usually helps a violet get out of stuck places or frustration places. Or what's your dream, what's your vision? That's a really great way to talk to a violet. With a blue, you want to talk to a blue about how she feels, how he or she feels, because blues are all about coming from the heart, and it's all about feelings. If you talk to a blue, you know, about what you think, then it's like all of a sudden they have to go into their heads again and try to analyze things, and that's not where their power is. They come from the heart. So blues language is about feelings. Tans are very methodical and practical and detailed when they talk. So when you're listening to a tan, now you greens and violets and even you blues out there, you'll understand when I say this, and I adore tans, so I've got tons of tan friends. But when tans talk, they need to tell you every detail of the story. And greens or violets are like, come on, get to the punchline. What's your point? Come on, just get to, you know, 10 or 50. Come on, come on. But you can't do that to a tan. You've got to let them, because then you have to let them describe the details and explain everything, because otherwise they feel like you won't understand the whole story, the foundation's not strong, they can't make their point. So usually what I tell greens and violets, you know, the ones that are like jumping way ahead, when the tan starts talking, just kind of check out a little bit, start thinking about all the other stuff you have to do, and then you can come back when they go 9, 10, and go, oh, that's the point, okay, fine, because greens and violets don't need the details. They just need to hear the punchline. So, but you have to allow a tan to talk, otherwise they get very frustrated and very offended if you don't let them explain the details. But I'll also explain that tans typically are not great communicators. Tans typically keep their feelings to themselves. They keep all kinds of stuff to themselves. They keep things in. So you can see for a blue to communicate with a tan, blues want to emotionally bond and connect with their partners, and tans are not that way. They just kind of keep their feelings to themselves. So right off the bat, you can see that it's going to be a communication issue. But also when tans do talk, they talk about what they think, and blues go, I don't care about what you think. I want to know how you felt about that. How did that make you feel at work today, honey? What do you feel about that situation? And tans don't talk about their feelings. If they do, it's typically, well, I think I feel. But they do each have their own communication. Reds don't really talk either. They just get things done. If there's a problem, they just move the piano. They go fix the door. They go work on the truck. They don't want to talk about feelings. They don't want to talk about thoughts and ideas and plans. They just want to go do it. So you can see when you understand another person's way of their languaging, you can communicate a lot better, or, you know, leave them alone when they need to be left alone. I mean, blues don't like to leave people alone. They want to save them and rescue them and help them right there. Oh, please, I'll help you. I know you're not happy. Let me help you. And other colors will go, leave me alone. Then the blue will get their feelings hurt.
And how does the yellow communicate? What's their
yellows usually, it's really cute with yellows. Yellows are very sensitive, fun-loving, so yellows usually communicate with laughter, and if you make a yellow uncomfortable, a lot of times they'll deflect things by using humor. But yellows usually communicate through touch. They're very touchy-feely, not in a spiritual new agey way usually, and they want to, if somebody's unhappy, yellows want to go fix it for them physically. Let me fix your body, or let me fix your kitchen sink, or let me fix the door, or let me fix the car. Again, they're in the physical family. So they communicate through touch, through their bodies, through affection, or through doing things for you, like bringing you flowers or you know, cleaning the house for you, because that's a physical act of communicating, showing that they care.
Yeah, boy howdy. Back on the couch, Since I have so much yellow, I'm laughing, of course, because that's so true. I mean, that's always been my, let me fix something, let me do something, let me, isn't there something I can do, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is always like do in the sentence. There must be some doing going on, I need to do.
Yes, and it's a physical action. For a green, it's a mental, okay, I got to think, I got to come up with a plan. Leave me alone, I got to come up with a plan. So they go into their heads. When they're going to fix something, yellows and reds and oranges and magentas, the physical colors, want to just physically take act. They want to do something in the physical realm to fix it.
Hmm.
That's why I see a lot of yellows get into the healing fields.
Yeah.
So they can help fix a person's body, even if it's just with energy. There's a lot of energy workers and chiropractors and massage therapists and veterinarians that they want to fix the physical body, even if it's through just energy and touch, or you understand that?
Yeah, it seems, as I think about the number of, I did body work for a long time and worked in doctors and chiropractors' offices and other kinds of practitioners, and I think about those people who are really great healers. But the tricky part is that they're not business people.
That's it.
It seems like a tricky thing. It seems like you need to be green to run your business. Be the brave. I've seen a lot of this going on with healers of all types.
Right.
Where they're really great healers.
Yeah. But they're not making any money at it.
But they're not making any money. You know, you see all these people come out of chiropractic school who are great healers and really have wonderful intention and really want to help people. And then they go into business. It's like, cue the sounds of crickets. I mean, nothing's happening because they got no business skills.
Well, most people have two life colors. They're yellow violets, yellow greens, yellow blues, yellow tans, yellow something. So hopefully the other side. But yellows, when they're in power, they're very creative, so they can come up with creative ways to make money. It's just yellows are such little givers. They're so generous. Same with blues. They get money, and then they just spend it on other people, or it just goes right back out their hands. For colors like yellows and blues and lavenders and indigos, it's not about money. It's about helping people. Violets and greens need money. They want money. Greens like nice things and clothes and mansions and jaguars and jewelry and things like that. Violets like those things, but violets want money for freedom. They want the freedom to do what they're here to do and to travel and to do humanitarian projects and to really make a difference. So it's more about freedom. Greens, it's more sometimes about respect, things, control, depending on if they're in or out of power. So you can see how relationships, I think it's so important. I like what you said about once you understand, you know, it's like, oh, I'm being green right now, or I'm being blue, or hey, my yellow's up. It's really helpful to, one, be in relationship with somebody, but two, even if somebody's single, to be able to identify now the colors of a person who's actually going to be more compatible. I have one client who's very blue-yellow, very spiritual, very, you know, physical. She's a massage therapist, wants to help people. Blues really want to be in love. They really want to be in a long-term Cinderella-like relationship. And she kept being drawn to reds. She would meet them at the gym working out in these reds, were bodybuilders. But they're not, reds are not known for their spiritual beliefs. It's all about physical reality. So she kept being drawn to reds, and now she knows she can identify a red real fast because all of those relationships ended up badly for her. So now she knows that's not her compatible match, which is why I created Love Colors, to help people learn their aura colors.
Yeah.
There's videos on the site, so it's lovecolors.com. I know you brought it up, so I'm going to weave right into it. Is that okay?
That's perfect, because you must be psychic, because of the, I was thinking, oh, we only have 10 minutes, we must move this direction, so that's very perfect. Yeah.
Right. So what people do when they go to lovecolors.com, people can go there for if they're wanting to find a relationship, but it's also for people wanting friends, because it's free right now, and it's going to be free for quite a while. You can go on there and communicate with people just as friends if you're already in a relationship. So you get to go take a little questionnaire so you find out what your colors are. You can go watch videos on them so you can hear more about your colors. Then you can write down what you want in your life, and we also know which colors are compatible with you. So when you get matches sent to you or friends sent to you and you find out they're an orange magenta, and go, oh, let me go watch the videos or read about oranges and magentas to see if that's somebody you want to create a relationship with. So, and there's video chat on there and audio chat. So we're doing our best to create a place where people can create a community, where they can go and talk to other indigos or other violets or other yellows, or they can meet somebody who's a yellow if that's compatible with them. And now there's no guessing. They don't just have to go to a site and just look at someone's photo and go, oh, that person looks cute. Maybe I'll contact them. And then they go, oh, my gosh, that was a mess. So we're kind of giving, you get to understand their personality, their preferences, their desires, what's important to them before you even contact them, because then you've got a basis to go on. It's like, okay, this is a green. Greens need people they respect. They need people that can keep up with them, that honors money, that's accomplishing, they're accomplishing things. Like, greens have very high standards, so do violets. So, you know, you need to know that before you start going with somebody who's got those colors.
Right.
If you are with
and I think
people.
Yes, and I think it's really, I think it's a great way, as I said earlier about with friends that know your system, it's a great way of annotating or give hints or clues about what's going on. And I think if you just go on the site, well, not just, if you go on the site, and you watch the videos and you pick a color and you begin to look at, not even like, I need to match, not that urgent sense of, you know, I need to be with somebody part, but you start using it in your life, your business life, or your life with your friends, and begin to look at it from that perspective. I find it so helpful to know that if I'm going to go talk to a yellow, what that tells me. The hints and clues that tells me, like you say, you know, you can see in when I sit with friends or I go to a party, particularly this time of year where there are events, and you can see people trying to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can see when the tan is trying to talk to the violet. You can see what's happening where, you know, the eyes are looking around and they're thinking, when is he going to be done telling me the 43 steps to get to here? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I mean, it's actually very fun to have this as a way of seeing, because it really helps in the communication. And And it really helps you know that when as soon as you start talking to a person with a tan, you know they're tan because they're going to tell you every detail along the way. And once you know that, it really helps, or at least it helps me, kind of relax and know, okay, now I'm talking to a tan person and this is going to take some time and I'll get away from here as soon as I can, but I'll listen to you till then.
No, Richard, all the colors have good in them. I don't want people thinking, oh, no, I'm a tan, I'm a bad person. We love
tan. No,
I
know.
Tans are the ones that have the patience to take care of the details, where the rest of the colors are like, oh, my gosh, get me away from, you know. I don't have time for this. Tans are very patient and solid, and they lay the foundation, and we need those stable, patient tans. And you yellows, by the way, yellows need playmates. They need fun. They need someone that they can laugh with and be playful with. So if you're getting on the site and you're very intense and you're very, you know, I've got to meet somebody, if you come on too strong to a yellow, they're going to run. You have to talk with a yellow with a sense of humor and lightness. Yellows are great to have in the world, too, because they help us to all stop staying so serious. They keep us from getting so intense and dramatic and serious about everything. Yellows are like, okay, lighten up. Life's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy your time on the planet.
This is supposed to be fun no matter what it looks like. Yeah,
yeah, see, that's a yellow's philosophy. It's supposed to be fun here, and if you can't have fun while you're here, then why even be here? And it's when yellows can't have fun that they start getting depressed. It's like, oh, no, why am I here?
Yeah. And I think it's also funny that you're talking about that woman, because I did have a question about bad boys, but I'll just cliff note it by saying, I think it's so interesting how I know a lot of women friends of mine who end up in that relationship, what I'll call transitory relationship, with the red guy they meet at the gym, who all seems like, oh yeah, you know, he's all manly and whatever those qualities are, he smells like Old Spice, I don't know what it is, it's some trigger that women get all like, their eyes roll up in the back of their head, it's lizard mind, you know, it's just an interesting combination of events that occur, but they always go away, or frequently go away, like you were talking about this woman where she meets the guy at the gym, and later on they go, what was I thinking? That was never going to work.
And
so
yet,
do
and
all
Red's
bad
get...
boys, do all
no,
bad boys
no, 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 Reds, pardon?
Go ahead, no, about the, talk about the Reds.
Yeah, reds are very compatible. I mean, reds and violets can get along great usually because reds and violets are both very powerful, and reds are very physical strong, and violets are very passionate too. So sexually, they can usually be very compatible as long as when the violet has a big vision and a dream, the red actually is physical, you know, helps it come into manifestation. So they can be a good team. Or a red and a green can make a great team because they're both very powerful as long as they don't beat each other up, you know, verbally or physically, because they can have power struggles. If they work together, they can make a very dynamic team that gets things done. The green comes up with ideas and plans, and the red moves it into action. But the problem is all three of those colors are very strong-willed and powerful, and so they can butt heads and argue about who gets to be right. So you just need to be able to balance it out.
Yeah, the balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go
awareness.
To a neutral corner.
Awareness, again, if you know when your partner's in power and out of power and ways to help that person. Like when a yellow gets out of power and starts doing addictions or getting all depressed or, you know, feeling like they're taking up space on the planet, you get them to go out and exercise. You do something funny. You go to a funny movie. You start doing something that's fun. Number one, I would tell a yellow, go out and exercise. And they always feel better after they do that.
And that's such a key. I can see that our show's going to end in about a minute or so. So I'll just say that that's always a key. I forget about the fact that as a yellow, that's one of the things I forget to do because I spend so much time sitting in front of a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to go out and be physical.
Yeah,
that's really, you know, me and Olivia Newton-John. Let's go out and be physical. So I want to say that this has been fabulously fun, and as a yellow, we know how that important that is to me, and that I cannot recommend highly enough that people go to lovecolors.com. It's so incredibly educational, useful, powerful, and, you know, you might run into somebody. Who knows?
Bonk.
Something like that. Yeah, there should be a sound effect. I need a little sound effect there for, you know, kicking in a can or something. And, yes, exactly. That's kind of what it feels like. So what's going to happen here is that they're going to announce the end of the show, but the show, we can talk for just a couple more minutes after this stops.
Okay.
So we won't, this isn't like live, your live radio where that's it and you're, the engineer cuts you off. We have a couple minutes.
Okay.
So I'm not pitching this, I'm pitching it in the sense that I think it's really true. It's an awesomely powerful tool. It's just an awesomely powerful tool. It's a great way to learn and, you know, have a better sense of who you're talking to, how you're talking to them, why sometimes when you're talking to somebody they can't get what you're saying,
uh-huh.
or how to talk to people in a way that, you know, they can relate to.
Yes.
And you can figure out your, you know, starting out by figuring out your own stuff is a great way to do that, I think.
I agree, Richard. That's why I do the work that I do. I feel it's really helpful. I mean, it's so cute to see people go, oh, I'm a blue, no wonder I do that. Oh, my gosh, I feel so much better. Or I have violets and or indigos writing me all the time going, I cried through the entire book when I was reading about me because I finally felt validated and seen. I always thought there was something wrong with me, but you described it to a T, described me to a T, and I feel free and released and validated, and now I know I can move on with my life and do what I always felt I was here to do.
Well, and it's so exciting to, you know, finally get the, oh, well, that's my, you know, in my case with yellow, so much yellow is that, you know, that part you talk about, the money relationship, that I've always been good at manifesting money, but I don't really care about it.
Right.
In the sense of the people that I know that are the greens that I know that really care about it, in the sense that they want the big shiny mansion and they have to have the newest, latest, whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, that was so great to feel validated is not exactly the phrase I want, but to just get that, oh, that really is part of my personality. Okay.
And it's,
well,
and
I'm
it's
not,
okay.
I'm not nuts.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm not bad.
Wow, I don't
wrong.
Know about that part.
Well, yeah, I have. Yeah. Nuts is always, you know, I have a baseball cap that just says that.
such a yellow. I like your yellow. I get a big kick out of it. I'm yellow too, you know? I love to be around people that I can laugh with.
Yes, yes. Yellow, when I'm with, you know, yellows that are, you know, into it, that's why I say it feels very much like, you know, a group of Labradors out having fun. I mean, it's really just, you know, we're out to have a good time. You know, what are we doing? Are we having fun yet?
Well, you know what's so
fun? Can we have?
I know. It's so funny sometimes, Richard, in my workshops, you know, when people go, oh, I'm a violet. I am superior, because that's what violets do, right? I am
yeah.
better than you because I am a violet. And I go, really? How come you're back on the planet again if you're so evolved, right? But, and again, I love violets, too. Don't get me wrong. That's why I've added it in my aura. I'm not a natural violet. But I go, you know what? Sometimes I think the yellows are more evolved because they enjoy life more. They're having more fun. They see it with a lighter perspective. I don't know. Sometimes I think we need more yellows on the planet for lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's, I mean, obviously that's my choice because I think that doing this kind of work with people, a lot of the running or doing shows or radio or whatever I'm doing, it's always there's always that edge of a lot of the people that I do co-hosting with or do shows with or do interviews with enjoy that sense of, even when we're talking about death and dying and, you know, really, for many people, mm-hmm. difficult issues.
Yep.
You know, there's always humor here. There's always Norman Cousins with, you know,
mm-hmm.
laughter is the best medicine.
That's it. That's it.
It
and
blows a lot of chi.
I think that's one of the reasons why yellows typically live longer. They're happier.
Because we don't
know,
care. No, we care.
Because they lighten up and they're happier and they enjoy life more. You know, when I see on Willard Scott or whatever on that show?
Today's
show or whatever.
Yeah.
He's always talking about this person's 105 and this one's 101. I go, look at, they're all yellow.
Yeah.
You know, yellow violets, yellow greens, yellow tans, but they're all yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they got some key, some secret. The key to life in there, anyway.
Yeah.
And all their colors have. It's just a different experience. People are here having a different experience. They chose a different, you know, they chose a theme. You know, we have so many different lifetimes. Like, okay.
Yeah, this time we chose this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try it this way this time.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be fun. Let's try that.
Yeah, let's experiment. Let's see what this is like. I think I'll be an orange this lifetime. Woo.
Ooh, I know.
went skydiving. I can't stay on the phone too long either. I got another business meeting here in 15 minutes. But that's okay. I still have time, or actually 20. I went skydiving once, just like, what the heck?
Wow.
I added a little bit of orange in my aura. It was fun. The plane was so filled with oranges, it was funny. Oranges and yellows, those were the predominant colors on the plane.
Wow. And did you actually enjoy the experience of skydiving?
I did.
Would you do it again?
I'm not afraid of it. I don't feel a need to. It didn't scare me. I had a moment there because I went tandem. I had a second where I went, hey, I'm not wearing the parachute. I'm just strapped onto the guy that's wearing the parachute.
Right.
And I look down at my feet and I go, I am like 12,000 feet up in the air with nothing. And
then
I went, oh, cool. So it's all, it's all energy. And then I was fine. And then he did a few little spins in the air, and I'm like, okay, you don't need to do that, all right? My stomach went, okay, a little bit too much up in the air like that. Don't do that. But the rest of it was fun.
A little too much yellow, perhaps. Or probably too much orange, right?
The guy went with that yellow, and he just thought, let's spin around. That'll be fun. I went, no, let me just enjoy the view.
Yeah, just, we're heading toward Earth at 1,000,000 miles an hour. That's good enough. Thanks. We don't need to be upside down twirling while we're doing that.
Well, two things they didn't warn me when we jumped out of the plane. One, you do not smile and keep your mouth open, because I was doing it because one of my friends was filming across from me, so I was smiling.
Wow.
No, you don't open your mouth when you're that high up. Your throat freezes up. It was like, and so I couldn't breathe for over a minute while I was free falling.
Yikes.
And the other thing they don't tell you is when you jump out of the plane, you're going about, the plane's doing whatever it is, hundreds of miles, and then you're falling at 100 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour per minute, I guess they said. 200 miles an hour. And so your system blacks. It goes black. You lose your sight. You lose your hearing. Everything blacks out while your body checks to see if you're still alive because it's such a shock.
Wow.
And then it comes back, and it feels like a really long time, but it's only like a second. It's like, well, everything went black.
Sure.
I go, that's what happened.
Wow, because
why didn't you guys
your body is still sensing. Your body is sensing the motion that's occurring, but yet there's that temporary blackout, like you say, while the body checks in and going, are we dead? Are we dead?
I know. Are we still alive?
What's going on?
Well, they said it's the equivalent of all of a sudden accelerating to 600 miles an hour with the combination of the plane and the falling. As soon as you step out, they said it's about 600 miles an hour impact. It's not an impact, but, it's like, okay, baby. And then it was fun.
Wow. They don't tell you. I like that. Oh, they don't mention that. Oh,
they don't mention that, and they don't say keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
And the other cool thing, Richard, is time absolutely slowed down so much. It was unbelievable. I thought when I was doing it, I was taking my time looking around. And once the chute opened, I was looking around, and I was the one that was supposed to pull the cord on the ripcord, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking around, then I'm looking down at the altimeter. This was before the chute opened. Looking down at the altimeter to see if I needed to open it. And then I'd look around some more, enjoy the view. Then I'd glance down at the altimeter. And then, I pulled the cord. Well, when you see the video, I look like left, right, down. I go, man, I didn't have the experience of moving that fast. Like time was almost standing still. Yeah, well, that's that whole moving to 0 point, the faster you go, the more it's like time stops.
Right.
Time slows down. I actually experienced that. It was a trip.
Wow. Well, I'm still back at the fact that you black out for a moment.
Yeah, you do.
Wow.
Well, maybe those guys, if they do it a whole lot, they're used to it, so their body isn't as in shock.
It probably has. It's because, we don't have the receptor sites anywhere in our system. There's no point in our cellular level where we have that experience to have a reference.
Yep.
So you're right. Probably once they do it a couple of times, the body has the reference and goes, oh, we're doing this again. Okay.
That would be my guess. But I didn't ask them. I didn't get down there and go, how come you didn't tell me you black out for a moment?
Oh.
I mean, you don't lose consciousness. It's just all your senses go.
Yeah, your body has to, reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, we're going 600 miles an hour. Wow, that's what that is. Okay, reference, back up. All right.
Cool.
This is just absolutely delightful. I can't recommend to people highly enough, because the whole show, even though it stopped, will be recorded. And then people will hear this as the live feed.
Mm-hmm.
That people go to lovecolors.com, sign up, get in there, start watching the videos, it's hugely powerful. It's huge, enormous. I mean, it's really, it's a powerful tool.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your show, and